Hey, this is Danielle Ojiabalu, LPC, and today I am going to ask that you listen to this podcast because I am going to get real with you about my Black college experience, Hampton University to be precise. Now, I am going to give you this disclaimer. I am not bashing Hampton University. I am merely going to tell you of a very private experience that I had or experiences that I had there that altered the trajectory of my life, even though in the end it was for the better. I want to tell you that my experience at Hampton University as a chemistry major is the reason why I am a mental health therapist licensed today. The purpose of this broadcast will be to help people who are sending off their loved ones, their little ones off to college, help to guard themselves and protect themselves from whatever it is might be there waiting for them. So stay tuned after this brief message, and I'll get right into the meat of what I have to say. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back real soon. Okay, so I want to start off by saying that my home by the sea changed my life. It was the most beautiful place for me to get away from traumatic experiences of living with an abusive person for most of my childhood years. I was preyed upon by a family friend from the age of 11 until I went off to college. And even when I visited home, there was instances where I was preyed upon. So I must tell you that I came to Hampton University with a traumatic brain. My brain had been traumatized by life experiences already. And I personally believe that when we are violated or when someone tries to violate us, that offense tags us for future offenses. So I'm not completely blaming my 4 or 5 years as being a student at Hampton University as the reason why I was messed up, but simply that there were predators there waiting for me when I came to college day. And I believe that was in the spring of 1988. Let me tell you. I came with a high school friend who actually we weren't even friends at the time, but I didn't even know that she was interested in attending Hampton University. So we agreed to go as roommates. I was freshly 18 years old, really naive, and together we got plane tickets and we flew to Virginia to spend the weekend getting to know what we were going to get into at our home by the sea. They took us on a tour of this campus and I was completely in love. But first I want to tell you, the guy, we were assigned a guy, two guys to be precise, to give us a tour on the campus. So let me stop right there. In the future, parents, go with your children to their college days experiences when they're touring the campus. It is not right for the university to assign two men to two naive young women to take them on a tour of the campus. So put that down. Step number one, go with your kids. And here's a note to universities all over the US. When you are assigning tours, students, to be tours for the campus, do not assign two men to two women to take them on a tour of the campus. Okay? Do we have that clear? I mean, I am so just upset about that right now, because today you can't have, you have to have two adults. But in situations with two girls, you should at least have one woman, just for the safety of those individuals. Okay, I'm getting off my hot box right now. So we went on a tour of the dorms, the different schools, just the campus in general, and it was a very long day. And at the end of the day, me and my future roommate were going to walk across that big old bridge to get back to our hotel. Step number two, teach your future college students to not disclose all of their personal information to strangers. So why am I saying that? We told these two young men we're staying at the Radisson Hotel just over the bridge. And they said, oh, let us walk you home. So we allowed them to, and we took them back to our room and we sat there and talked. Now, one thing that I can say about myself is that I didn't know that I had a gift to, number one, discern. Also, I have a gift of wisdom, but I didn't know, number one, I wasn't a believer at the time. I believe that God always had his hand on me, but I didn't have the brain development or the prefrontal cortex to help me to think critically about the information that was in front of me. So I saw this young man who I would say and hope and pray that he has changed. I saw him raise his eyebrow, lift his head at the other gentleman, and he left with my friend. And then all of a sudden, the anxiety kicked in. I am reliving what happens to me all the time at home. Now, I want to tell you, the sexual abuse that I experienced at home was at this time never fully successful. There were always attempts, but I'm a warrior. Now, being a warrior is not always good, but I had strategies in place to protect myself. So number one, I would sleep when the man was not home. And when he came home, when I heard his car in the driveway, I would wake up and I would do my homework. And I would stay up all night until he left to work. And then I would sleep for another hour or so, and I usually missed the first period of school. I don't know how I graduated from high school. I don't know how my mother did not get called into conferences. I don't even know how I got to college, except I blew out my ACT scores. So let me go fast forward ahead to this young man. His friend left, and immediately he went in for the kill. And like a deer in headlights, I sat there and I let him do what he did. And he got up, he cleaned himself up, and he left me in that room, ashamed and afraid. And my twisted little teenage traumatized brain thought, oh, he loves me. Because that's what my other predator used to always say to me, I love you. So I discounted my experience as he loves me. And I went on a tour. And actually, that was the last day of the tour. And then I went home. I never told my roommate what had happened. But I came back to high school full of shame, full of pain, but also thinking, he loved me. So I wrote him a letter asking him how he was, etc., etc. I never professed I love you back because love was wicked. So stay tuned after this next message, and I'm going to tell you what happened after that. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for taking time to listen to the sponsored segment. So I want to tell you that when I returned to Hampton University in the fall of 1988, I moved into Davison Hall. I was around a bunch of beautiful, awesome women. I'm not going to name their names to protect the privacy of everybody involved. And I moved forward to having this very safe family at my home by the sea. And for the first time in 11, 12 years, I felt a sense of freedom because I was no longer having to have all these strategies to keep myself safe. Like, I worked three jobs in high school at one point when I turned 16. So I was never home. I never did homework. Oh my gosh, how did I graduate from high school? Oh my goodness. I probably was at the bottom of a class and I don't even know what my GPA is. I mean, it was crazy. And okay, let me stay focused. So Hampton University accepted me. I blew out my ACT scores, science. Oh my gosh, it was like amazing. Everything else was really good. I don't know how that happened, except God had his hand on me in some kind of way that I don't understand, but I thank him today. So I have established a community at Hampton University. And then we had homecoming and I ran into the predator. And he just lifted his brow up at me and smirked. And he was with his frat brothers. I later established a lot of friendships on campus and ran into a fool off campus who was in the military, who was broken and twisted and had experienced sexual abuse himself. And he proceeded to control me and to manipulate me and to try to convince me to drink alcohol and all kinds of awful things. And it was a relationship disaster. I don't even know how, if he is alive today, because he was suicidal. He married one of my old roommates. That was jumping ahead a little bit, but when I found out that he had multiple girlfriends on campus, I slipped into a major depressive episode. Now, I didn't have major depression, but I was so depressed. I did not get out of the bed. I did not eat. I did not drink. And people just walked around me. Nobody said, "Are you okay?" That I recall. I just stayed in a little hole and the days went by and I didn't realize that the days had gone by until I just snapped out of it and I went to eat, went to class. And then the guys on campus started paying attention to me. One particular guy, I thought he was awesome. He was nice, he was tall, he was handsome, and he was from my hometown. And then I had another friend who was really, really cool. He was really, really laid back. And I helped him in math. He was hilarious. I used to, here's another naive thing. I used to go to his place and help him, tutor him with his math. And this guy was his roommate and I was interested in him. So, you know, the tutoring, I hope I helped him. I don't know. I don't know if it was math. It couldn't have been math, but it was with writing papers. I tutored this guy with something, but his roommate was interested in me. And he used to always try to get me to come over, blah, blah, blah. And I was, despite all of my trauma, I was interested, but I was really naive. I didn't have good boundaries. I didn't know how to say no, but I never ever let this guy take advantage of me for some reason. And so I remember one Christmas break, we went back home to Detroit and he invited me over to his house to meet his family and to just chill. So I don't even remember how I got there. I have no memory of a lot of my young years and college years. Put an asterisk next to that. That is a sign of trauma. So I do remember that we were watching movies and then he fell asleep and I continued to watch movies and then I woke up, he had pounced all over me. and we were in the daggone family room in this guy's house. His father was a very reputable person in the community. And here he is pouncing all over me in the family room of their home. And I told him no. For the first time in my life, I had backbone. And I said, no, I don't want this. And he said, come on, Dee. You know, some of the such and such members of the fraternity, this particular fraternity, told me that you were easy. And I lost it. I sunk into a dark hole because I realized that, and that was when I realized that I had been preyed upon, because this guy took advantage of me and then told all of his frat brothers that I was easy. So the fact that I thought I'm a decent looking young woman and I am attractive because these guys are looking at me and paying attention to me is now laced with I'm easy, and I'm not. I was not. So at that point, I never talked to him again. I stopped tutoring my friend. I kind of became distant. And by that time, I had switched majors and I had gone into chemistry, where I got deep into the research, and I stopped really hanging out that much because I was labeled as easy, and that hurt me to my core. And I had no place to go because home was not safe, and then now college is not safe. So I kind of built up a wall. And one thing I want to tell you is that I am so thankful for several individuals at Hampton University who spoke or ministered the Word of God to me, even though I was so beat up on the inside that I wouldn't listen to it. But I want to tell you, if you are one of those people that ministered to me, that seed was planted, and I am a blood-washed, born-again believer today as a result of those things that you spoke into my life. There was another young lady who didn't go to Hampton University in high school who spoke into my life at that time, and she also was responsible for the seed on the inside of me. And I remember one of my chemistry colleagues said to me, she said, Danielle, you're going to give your life to Christ and you're going to serve the Lord. And I laughed at her and I said, I've got a lot of partying left in me. Not right now. That is so hilarious because I was the biggest nerd. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't do drugs. I didn't hang out with the in crowd. I did enjoy my roommates in school, and I love them to life to this day, even though I don't really talk to any of them. We've kind of lost touch as we have grown up and married and had our families. But at any rate, I witnessed some things on the campus, some violence on campus, that made me raise a brow and wondered why I never heard a message from the school saying anything about safety and how to protect yourself, and about setting boundaries and learning to say no. And so I want to tell you that I graduated from Hampton University, and originally it was supposed to be with the original quintessence class of 1992, but I was so jacked up in my mind that I failed a class and I kind of dropped some classes. So I didn't graduate until 1993 with I believe it was Onyx, I'm not sure. But at any rate, I was a messed up college student. And I eventually got involved, was really, really interested in someone who was very unhealthy. And he graduated. And just, I'm talking about mind control, manipulation, just initially made me feel like I was an awesome woman. And then later on, I became pregnant with my first child, and he proceeded to really wound me time and time again about being the mother of this child. And I was actually pregnant my last year at Hampton University, and this guy pretty much just told me I was nothing, I was ugly, I was skinny, and no one was gonna want me. And he told me this, he really cursed me out and mistreated me all the time while he was drunk. And so it really damaged me. I stayed on at Hampton University for graduate school for chemistry. I was passionate about the environmental chemistry, and I must say, I had one particular professor who I was afraid of, because he used to look at me in a way that used to make me feel naked, and I found myself many times being alone with this man and feeling really traumatized. But I tried to stay focused and pretty much flunked out of graduate school. I just couldn't. I couldn't go to his class. I couldn't get the work done. I had developed a new support there. You know who you are. She was the only person left. As a matter of fact, I was alone in the hood for the summer, for the entire summer, pregnant. I hadn't even told my family. And I kind of went incognito because I was just in a dark place. And this young lady was kind of there for me in the end, and was there when my son was born. And I ended up leaving Hampton University in the spring of 1994 after my son was born, because I couldn't. I was just so messed up in the head. I couldn't focus on graduate school, and really it wasn't my passion. I really wanted to go to medical school, but I didn't have the mental capacity to deal with the stress, and even taking the MCAT exam was traumatic for me. So I have some things that I want to say to future college students, current college students, and the parents of those who are going to send their children away. Number one, show up at the university and make space for your child, showing the university family that you support your student, and that you're on their side, and that you're present even in that moment, but also even when you're away. Let it be known that you love your child and you support your child, and you're saving safe space for your child at the college or university. Number two, I would say to the university, educate the incoming freshmen and make it possible for every student on the campus to understand boundaries and what sexual harassment and what sexual assault, date rape, rape, and things of the like is, and really listen to the women on campus and just create a safe place for people to understand that they have a voice. And ironically, I was a peer counselor while I was there, and no one ever reached out to, I never had a job. Basically, no one utilized the services until a student killed himself on campus. And that was a very difficult time for all of us. So, university, I want to tell you, hire somebody like me to teach your incoming students how to establish boundaries and to be able to learn to say no and to have respect for their own bodies and how to keep themselves safe in a college environment, because pedophiles go to college. They're no longer interested in the adults, but they have to find a way to get that sexual addiction fixed. So they prey upon the newbies, the ones that still are naive to the college experience. So hire someone like a life coach or me, a licensed professional counselor and life coach, to speak to the students on campus to prepare them not only for their learning experience, but also how to stay safe and to not be naive. Because again, the brain, the prefrontal cortex, doesn't get fully developed until way after you've left college. So decision-making and critical thinking skills are usually not developed at that age. For the students that are there, respect your body. You don't have to sleep with a man in order to win his love and affection. The man that you're supposed to be with will love you all the more because you decided to hold that part of your body sacred until you felt like you wanted to commit. Ideally, that would be marriage. I know several people who married their college sweetheart, and kudos for you or to you for holding it out and being faithful to the one that you love. But I also know that there was a lot of trauma on campus and off campus amongst my colleagues, and it has not been something that was spoken about. So let's get wise. Let's strengthen up our mental health services on our college campuses. Let's really have webinars and programs for young girls to learn about how to stay safe, and especially those who came from traumatic backgrounds, build up a place where there can be group therapy or group peer support services so that you can foster a safe environment to get an education. I want to tell you that I only returned to my home by the sea one time since I left Hampton University in 1998, and I think 1993, and I think it was our 5-year anniversary, and I went back with my son. And the thing that made it less triggering for me was the fact that it was our 10-year anniversary, because the campus looked totally different. Things just did not look the same. And so I wasn't as triggered, but I didn't feel close to many people. As a matter of fact, I didn't remember a lot of people. And that was mainly due to a different trauma that I can talk about at another time. But I pretty much only remember a little bit of the good stuff, but mostly only the bad stuff due to trauma. And so I want to say I am Danielle Ogiabalu, LPC, and I own a practice, Hope to Healed, here in the Texas state, Houston, Texas area, to be precise. And I formed this organization or this business because I was in a place of pain, and now I am empowered and healed and ready to help other people heal from their anxiety, depression, and traumatic experiences. And so I want you to reach out to me if you're in the Texas area at www.hope2healed.com, hope2healed.com. Also, you can email me at therapist@hope2healed.com. And if you would like for me to speak at your university, please reach out to me at therapist@hope2healed.com. I am passionately looking for opportunities as a life coach to speak to the masses about protecting yourself from offense while away from home. Thank you so much for listening to my story, soon to be a book. Send me questions and I will answer them. Thank you so much again. God bless you, and tune in to my next recording. Thank you, and bye.